League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Once again, we find ourselves in a studio with Audio Boom.
Yes.
Recording yet another podcast of On the Record.
Yes.
We haven't got a great deal of time to do this one in, so we better get straight to it.
I think we'll be plenty of time, don't worry. Now, do you know where Colleton is?
Colleton. Is it in the West Country?
Colleton is in Devon.
Yes.
And there's a woman there who hangs out her washing on a clothesline.
Yes.
And
but there's something weird about this woman, right?
Yeah.
Because she doesn't just hang her washing on a clothesline.
No.
She hangs it out the front of the house.
That's what I mean, along the front of the house,
yeah,
which is
outrageous. No, but most people don't do that. I mean, if I said to you, I've seen some clothing hanging on a line, you would imagine it was in somebody's back garden. Because
you would.
That's traditionally where you would hang it.
You would. I would. She hangs it. Now, what I can't understand is, is that, you know, a particular member of the local community protested and said this is unsightly, which I totally agree with.
Yeah, I think
so. And yet, for some bizarre reason, this woman, whose name is Claire Mountjoy, has had support from neighbours who said, well, leave her alone. It's her house. She can hang it out if she wants.
I think the thing is,
there's nothing worse than having people hanging out their dirty washing.
Well, it's not dirty
washing. It's clean washing,
right?
Yeah.
But there's something rather unsightly, I would say, about people hanging their underwear outside the house.
I totally agree.
Now, I didn't see the underwear in question particularly. I know it was in a lot of the papers the other day. But you can't tell by looking at the underwear if it's nice underwear. Do you know what I mean?
No, you can't. This was an...
I mean, if you lived next door to some beautiful woman...
Yes.
...and she was hanging out her very nice frilly lingerie...
Yes.
...you'd probably love that. You wouldn't complain to her, would you?
No, I mean, that's a bit of a pervy thought, that is, because I don't want to be seeing other people's underwear under any circumstances.
Yeah, but underwear wasn't like that.
Yeah, well... Right? Well, anyway, look, what happened was an anonymous letter writer sent a letter saying, don't do it, you're bringing down the neighbourhood.
Yes.
We don't know who the anonymous letter writer is.
Well, somebody's in the street, I would guess.
Yeah, well,
I don't think it's acceptable to hang it out the front of the house.
It's disgusting. Now then, down in my place in Gosport, right, which is an exclusive penthouse
I've been there.
Residence. Yes,
I would describe it as that.
Yeah.
Well, I would describe it as a high-rise block in what can only be described as a kind of concrete jungle.
No, it's not concrete jungle at all.
It's a concrete
jungle. Block. But anyway.
There's no grass there.
The chap around the corner from me, in my tower, because I live in the tower block, there's low-level parts of
dwellings.
Yeah, mine's in the tower block.
Yeah, it's like an estate.
No, it's not a estate.
It's
at all,
like an estate.
It's a gated community, you know?
Yeah,
okay?
Right.
Yeah.
That's to keep all the scumbags out,
yeah,
because it's a horrible area.
No, it's not a horrible area, but you've got to keep the grout washed out from the elite dwellings.
You told me that there was a pub across the street. It was so rough, they had to shut it down.
No, rubbish. It's still there. It's called the Clarence. It's a very nice little pub.
You said it was a horrible pub.
No, I've never said that in my life.
Sure
you make things up.
No, I don't.
Anyway, the point is, this person started putting like wet towels and things on the balcony rail.
Right.
So I immediately protested.
Wet towels?
Yeah, to the...
What do you mean, like bath towels or beach towels?
Well, people go down to the beach. I live on the coast, you know, and they come back in the day and then they rinse their towels, put them out.
I've never seen a beach there.
Well,
beach in Gosport. I thought a ferry was there.
Yeah, the ferry
is. There a beach as well?
Yeah. Go around to...
You wouldn't swim in that awful muck,
you? Of course you would. Go around to Stoke Park and that. And then on the other side of the water, there's South Sea Beach, a very famous beach.
Oh, yeah, no, that's fine. I'm talking about the Gosport side.
Yeah, yeah, of course
it looks like it's all built up. It's
rubbish,
like a docks.
Rubbish. Don't you know what the Solent is? The Solent's one long beach.
Yeah, no, goodness I know that.
Goodness sake,
but that's on the other side.
I live on the Solent.
That's on the Portsmouth side.
No, the Solent's on my side.
Well, the Solent's a river.
Solent's not. It's a stretch of water.
I thought
salt
yeah.
to stretch your water.
But the Solent is part of the whole south coast, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. But it goes from where I live in Gosport, goes to Leon Solent. Right. That's why, you know, the word Solent gives you the clue as to where it is, and down there. But anyway, look, so I protested, wrote to the management company, said, tell
this. Oh, you protest to him?
Of course not.
Why not?
It might have caused an inter-neighboural dispute.
Grassed him up.
Yeah, grassed him up, yeah.
That's not nice.
And said, write to him, get him to stop doing it, you know, because I'm a scumbag like that, you know.
Who was he, this guy?
Well, I don't want to get into that, but it lowers the tone of the area. Mm. So I'm actually on
the
side.
Why didn't you tell the police officer, because he used to live opposite?
He's not there anymore, actually.
Is he not?
No, he's not there, no.
Where's he gone?
No idea.
Really?
But it's one of those properties which goes out for rental. Mm. So I think somebody else has moved in.
No,
nice
really?
Person, because you've got to pass
woman,
a test.
Woman, man?
Man, actually.
Oh, yeah?
A couple, a nice couple.
Right.
And you've got to pass a test to get into my building. Just like you do in New York, where you have to pass the...
Well, like the co-op board
Yeah, the co-op board and all that. Because if you're a scumbag, you don't get into the building.
Well, sometimes you're even if you're a very famous person, you don't get into the building. Because some of those co-op boards...
Didn't Madonna and Cher have problems?
Madonna certainly had problems getting into some of the buildings.
Yeah, that's right, But anyway, so... I'm all...
So tell us how that ended, that story.
Well, it hasn't ended. It's...
I don't mean that story. I mean your story, the guy with the towel.
Oh, we stopped doing it.
Did he?
Yeah, we got heavy with him. You know what I mean? Yeah.
So you felt like you'd had a little minor victory.
Well,
there.
I don't go around boasting about victories, minor or otherwise. Mm. But, I mean, the forces of righteousness certainly prevailed.
Is that right?
Put it that way.
So what do you do with your washing, then?
My washing?
Yeah.
I air it indoors.
Indoors?
Yes, that's
Do you hang it up indoors?
Yes, I do, yes.
You hang it up?
Yes.
What, on a horse?
What do you mean a horse?
On a clothes horse.
Well, yeah, like a clothes frame,
well,
yes,
a
that's
fucking
right.
horse, obviously,
yes,
a clothes horse.
A clothes frame, yes.
So you've got a clothes horse?
Yes, I have, yes.
Have you?
Yes.
What kind?
Well, it's a folding one, like a white folding
one. Does it go out into the shape of a Y? Or does it go in the shape of a Z? You know, some of them are all different.
It can go either, because it's a multifaceted...
Multi-folded.
Folding frame.
Have you ever caught your finger in it?
No.
That can be very painful.
No, I'm not as
stupid
as
that. Do you know what my grandmother used to have?
No.
Now, this is taking you back to the kind of Victorian era. She lived in a place called Mansbray. In Cathcart. Which was in the south side of Glasgow,
South side of Glasgow.
Very close to Castle Milk, which is a terrible place.
Castle Milk.
Yeah, one of the worst and first council estates that was custom built, you know. For the schemies.
Is it worse than the Gorbals?
It is, actually.
Yeah,
it actually
worse
is.
Worse than the Gorbals.
But the Gorbals are similar. Mm. But no, the Gorbals was there before Castle Milk was actually created, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Anyway, she used to live in this old tenement house where you walked in the close, as they called it.
Yes.
And there was no front door on the close, but it was kind of red sandstone.
Right.
And you'd walk through and up to a stone staircase.
Right, yeah.
And all the flats would be off it.
Yeah,
you know?
I've seen places like that, yeah.
And very working class kind of, you know, type of living.
Yeah.
And out the back, there's a tiny little place where you put the bins and all that, but not really a garden.
I think they also share a loo, didn't they? Like four flats have
to
share
some,
one loo.
In the old days,
that.
They did. In this case,
horrible,
it was
horrible.
But what I always remember.
I'd kill myself if I lived in conditions like
why?
That. Oh, I couldn't bear it.
No, it was actually quite a nice flat, but the problem was.
Yeah.
Because they didn't have very much money, her and her husband, my granddad, they had a big kitchen, and they used to sleep in a bed in the kitchen.
Yeah, they used to fold down off the wall.
No,
didn't
no,
they?
No. This was actually in. It was like in a sort of almost in a little alcove.
Right.
The bed, the double bed, was there.
Right.
Because the kitchen was the only room they could afford to heat.
Right.
So they had a big fireplace in the kitchen.
Yeah.
And a cooker and everything, but they also had very high ceilings, and they had this kind of what can only be described as a well, it was a sort of wooden pole,
a frame.
But it was not really a frame. No, it was like two poles.
That's right.
And it was, and you pulled it down with a rope.
Yeah, I've seen those.
And you put the clothes on it.
Yeah.
And you put the rope back up.
Yeah, that's
and you pulled it up to the roof.
And then the heat rose in the room and dried.
Yeah,
the, I've seen
and we
that.
Used to hate going to the house.
Why?
In the winter, well, in the Easter time.
You hated your grandparents,
didn't you? No, I didn't hate that. Well, she wasn't very nice.
No.
My granddad was lovely.
Right.
But he died, unfortunately, of cancer. I mean, I was about 9 or 10.
Very sad. Yeah.
She still was alive. When he was around, he was one of those guys that said.
Is this your father's
my
father?
My father's father, He was also called Archie, funny enough.
Right, okay, yeah.
And he was one of those guys who said, you can never have an empty table when people come. So there was always food and it was great. When after he died, that all disappeared.
Wow.
And because she was a bit tight.
Well, she didn't want to feed you.
No, she didn't want to spend any money. But also, it got colder
in
all the other rooms.
Well, probably money. She was a widow, wasn't she?
No, indeed. But
so, you know, you were feasting off a poor old widow
I was
and taking her money.
No, it didn't do it with me.
Yeah.
Not my fucking fault. Well, anyway, so they had this back
bedroom.
You were
moaning, you didn't have a bar of chocolate.
No, I never moaned. No, because I always had a bar of chocolate as a kid.
Yeah.
I used to just nick them if I didn't have any money.
Yeah, I know that.
Anyway, so you get in the back room, which was freezing. You'd literally have to sleep with your clothes on and a hat.
Yeah,
because it was that cold,
sleep
and there was
the
no
on.
Way to warm the place because everywhere
shocking.
Outside of the kitchen was an absolute ice box.
Yeah, shocking,
horrible,
shocking.
Well,
my mum, I mean, you know that I used to sing this rhyme for her. Uh-huh. Rain, rain, go away, come another washing day.
Come again because, another day come, was my come, version
yeah,
of that.
That's right, yeah. Because my mum used to wash on a Monday.
Yeah.
And if it rained, she couldn't dry the washing. Mm. Because we had...
So did she hang it outside?
Yeah, we had a rope the length of the garden. It's not a big garden, but it was big enough when we were little to be able to play cricket in. Okay. Right, you could bowl the ball and smack it over the fence next
door.
Did you
ever break a window?
I broke a window on the front of the house when we were playing football in the street once. Ah, yes, that's right. My ball bashed a window, a neighbour's window. But that was par for the course. Exactly. Happened to everybody, you know. Yeah. But anyway, so my mum had this rope that went from the back of the house to a pole at the end of the garden.
Yeah.
And was attached to a brick wall.
Yeah.
The pole was attached to a brick wall. And that rope was held up by a prop.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. And this prop had a little V at the top.
That's a little V, yes. I remember those. To get the I've seen those.
And of course, when I was a kid, I thought, this is brilliant. Yeah. This is where my career as a pole vaulter will start. Uh-huh. So I took my mum's prop.
You're not
prop.
Really the right shape for a pole vaulter, to be honest.
Well, when you're about six, you not really are. So, and I'd seen it on telly.
Six.
So I picked
Where did you see that on telly? You couldn't see that in those days on telly.
Yeah, you would, yeah, definitely.
Really?
Well, maybe you saw it in a sports magazine or something like that. You know,
was
Grandstand
even on there?
Grandstand was, and David Coleman was the man who ran
Grandstand. In the 50s?
In fact, I think Eamon Andrews. I think he ran it on a Saturday.
Really?
It was that far back. Yeah,
I thought
yeah.
he was on ITV.
Well, he might have been. He might have been on both.
He did This
Jimmy
Is Your
Hill.
Life, didn't he?
Yeah, he did This Is Your Life, yeah.
This Is Your
Who's
Life.
The only man who ever walked away from This Is Your Life and said, no thanks?
I don't know.
Danny Blanchflower.
Did he?
The famous Spurs footballer.
Oh,
said,
yeah.
No thank you.
Why?
Because he didn't want to be exposed on television
really?
For what he'd done and all that kind of stuff. So anyway, so I grabbed the pole, I ran towards the brick wall, I was going to pole vault over the wall.
Okay.
That would be brilliant.
Yeah.
Now, I didn't know how the pole was supposed to, you know, like,
propel
get me over
you.
The wall.
Yeah.
So I ran straight into the wall, smashed the pole.
Well,
my mother
would.
Was not best pleased. Yeah.
Yeah, because I wouldn't know where you could be able to replace the pole.
Well, no.
Well,
exactly.
The problem with pole vaulting is that you have to actually be able to flex.
Oh, you've got to bend
the pole.
The pole is
so
a bendy pole.
Yeah, it's got to be bendy. So if it's a piece of wood that doesn't bend, that's
exactly.
no use.
Yeah, but I didn't know that as a kid, did I?
You
I thought what
bright,
you did is,
you?
I thought you stuck it in the ground at the base of the brick wall, and it would then magically, you know, elevate you across the wall to the other side.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
Which would have put me in the entry in the nettles.
That was your first mistake.
Yeah, but I didn't care about that. Mm. But anyway, yeah, the washing used to flutter and dry.
Yeah.
And, of course, the big event, the big social event... Mm. Certainly during the holidays, was the minute there was a spot of rain in the air and fell on the pavement, your mum would call you in from the street, get the washing in. You had to get the washing in before the rain came.
Yeah.
Because it was nearly dry,
and
but now it's going
to
get wet.
Did you have a basket to put it in?
Yeah, big... Well, you see, we were lucky.
Yeah.
I had a big plastic clothes basket, what's it called, wash basket.
Washing basket, yeah.
Made by Addis.
Uh-huh.
But my dad worked for Addis.
Did he?
My dad sold Addis brushes.
Well, you know Richard Addis, who was the editor of the Express, is from that family.
Yeah, is that right?
Yeah, it was his family.
Really?
That's why he was so wealthy.
Really?
He went to Eton.
He went to Eton, did he? I didn't know that.
Oh,
yeah.
Yes.
Addis was based in Hertfordshire.
Yeah.
And every 2 years, my dad would disappear in the Morris Minor and come back with a brand spanking new one.
Yeah.
And for instance, it was so long ago, I remember now the first time he came back with a car that didn't have a little orange flag that came out the side to indicate it was turning
right.
Remember
the Morris Miners had that?
Yeah, that's right. It actually had a flashing light
an
on
indicator.
The bumper.
Wow.
I thought, wow, we've moved up in the world.
We've moved up in the world.
But it wasn't just an ordinary Morris Minor. It was what they used to call a shooting brake with two doors at the back.
Yeah, yeah.
And
it
was, I
Did
don't
The wood as well.
Yeah, wood. Yeah. Why would you make cars of wood?
Well, you know, in America, I used to have the Dollarmobile, which is like that. You ever seen that movie, Animal House's National Lampoon's Vacation?
Yes, that's right.
Where they drive across America.
Yeah, that's
Chevy
right.
Chevy Chase. Very funny film, actually. It's one of my favourite sort of dopey American films.
Yeah.
But he's got one of these station wagons, as they call them.
Yes.
With a massive amount of wood. All
that's
down
right,
the side.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous,
I know,
right?
I know.
But I actually bought a car from John Carney.
Oh, yes.
Who's our lawyer friend.
Yeah, yeah.
Because he was moving, I think, up to Pelham, and he couldn't be asked taking the car with him.
Right.
And we used to play a bit of golf at the weekend. So I said, I'll buy it off you.
Yeah.
And we were in Costello's one night.
Where did you keep it?
I used to keep it on the street.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What, in Manhattan?
Yeah.
I don't know, you
because
could do that.
Yeah, you could, but you have to occasionally move it from one side to the other.
Yeah, sure.
Because they would have to sweep the street.
Yeah, sure.
But I said, because I didn't care about if anybody stole it.
Did
you know how much I paid him for it?
$200?
I gave him a dollar.
A dollar? You're
joking. He said, because he didn't want to spend any more money parking.
Right, I see, yeah.
Because parking down where he lived was quite expensive.
Yeah, $40 a day or something.
Something like that.
Yeah.
So I gave him a dollar. He gave me the keys.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Is there a logbook thing in America?
I don't think so.
No.
I mean, all I did is I got in the car.
Yeah.
Massive, great big. You know those front seats, which is just one seat?
Yeah, that's right. And you slide across them when you go around a tough bend.
Like a park bench, right?
Yeah.
But it was like a seven seater. It was fantastic.
Yeah. Incredible.
You could take any number of golf bags, people, kids, dogs. Yeah.
My favourite story.
And I had it for about 3 years.
Really, yeah. My favourite story about Cars in America is always back to old, he died recently, the economist.
Pergavin. Yeah, yeah.
Well, I'll go and get the papers and the bacon, for breakfast.
Yes.
So he comes back to him and says, darling, you last used the car. Well, where exactly have you parked it? And it'd been taken overnight by the recovery company because he hadn't paid the bills.
Mm. I mean, my other favourite car story from America is the one by Ivor Key. When he was on, he went through a bad period when he was breaking up with his wife, Doreen, who you know very well. And he was going out with some floozy who he'd bought a fur coat for.
Really?
And she got very upset about. This was back in the day.
Ivor never had any money.
No, he didn't. No. But this was one of the reasons he didn't have any money.
No.
It was because she was taking it all.
Yeah.
But he was also going through a stage of taking a lot of Valium, apparently. And so he'd gone to LA to do some job, right?
Yeah.
And he rented a car from Hertz or Avis or something like that.
Yeah.
And he had to go to one of those clubs to meet people who he was doing the story with, right? And it was one of those, you know that scene in Beverly Hills Cop where he goes to see the villain in his old manky car?
Yes.
And you drive up the sort of driveway.
That's right,
And then you get to the top of the driveway, there's a little spot where you stop the car.
That's right. And you the guy comes and takes the keys and parks the car,
So Ivor's in the same kind of place, right? Goes up this drive.
Presumably it's a rental car.
It's a rental car, Sees the guy coming towards him, so just gets out of the car.
Mm.
But instead of putting the car into, park and leaving it for the guy to drive off, the car's still moving.
Right.
So the guy's like running around trying to get in the car.
Yeah.
He's like, hey, man, the car's still moving. Mm. And I was, because he's fucked on Valium. Standing there going,
well, he was a bit vacant most of the
and
time.
And he was, And he watches it. And he said he watched the car literally go down the other side of this hill and smash into a Porsche 911.
Good
which
God.
Was brand new.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And sort of exploded.
Good God. Yeah.
And this fucking guy comes running out. Going, what the fuck have you done to my car, man? And it was Dino De Laurentiis, the fucking, the guy who directed King Kong.
Yes, yeah. Good
Dino De Laurentiis' Porsche, which he completely smashed
it to pieces.
Yeah.
Good God.
And he said later,
he
said, I had to take the car. He said, I basically took the car back to the car rental place in a plastic bag.
Yeah, well, exactly.
Because the car was knackered.
They completely smashed up. Yeah.
Unbelievable.
I hope the insurance look after all of that.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
So,
Now I want to tell you about Robbie Burns. Okay.
My love is like a red, red rose. You know that I had my father read that.
Yeah.
You won't remember this, even though you were there.
Oh, yeah.
My father read My Love is Like a Red, Red Rose, which is Robbie Burns' kind of love poem.
Oh, yeah.
At my wedding. Do you not remember?
No.
On Park Avenue.
Did he?
You were there.
Oh, yeah, also, yeah.
No, you were standing there with a bottle of champagne. Do you remember? We came out.
Yeah, I remember.
The famous wedding picture.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, listen, it's been revealed that Robbie Burns' finest work was done when he was in the depths of depression.
Oh, yeah.
And he's the first modern known case of a manic depressive.
Is that right?
Yeah. And he used to call it blue devilism. Okay?
Now, he used to live in Ayrshire because I've been to the Robbie Burns cottage in Ayrshire. And he was a hell of an alcoholic.
Oh, yeah, he was a terrible alcoholic.
He used to drink himself literally into an oblivion single day.
Robert Burns, Scotland's national bard, once expressed his longing for the gift to see ourselves as others see us.
Exactly right.
Right?
Which is a great phrase, if you think about it.
Yes.
Because it says...
See ourselves as others see us.
You would do well to take on some of that advice, because if you think of why people don't like you, right, you could think of how they see you, and then you would know why.
Yeah. A load of rubbish. anyway, it says an academic analysis of the correspondence of the poet who described his low moods as the blue devilism has suggested he endured severe mood swings in which he flipped between depression and ultra hypomania.
Do you not think that had something to do with the large amounts of whiskey?
Well, I'm sure it's the fact that he's a complete pisshead, and as you quite rightly say, drunk into oblivion every day.
Although that does sound a bit like bipolar, doesn't it?
It does sound a bit bipolar, yeah. Now, according to researchers, his melancholia,
it's a good word, that,
has thus been largely seen as part of Burns's image as the tortured genius who would become a key figure in the Romantic movement, along with such writers as Byron and Shelley.
Oh, yes.
Okay?
But were they also suffering from that kind of manic depression, do you think?
They could have been because of their, you know, their genius. But anyway, it says, despite his perceived shortcomings, including chronic alcoholism, a volatile temperament, a demon womanizer, and arguably being a tax collector, but keeping the taxes for himself.
I think we talked about this earlier in one of the other podcasts, but I think I'm pretty sure he contracted syphilis at one point in his life.
Oh, did he?
Well.
I don't know. So. But anyway, he retains a hold over the popular imagination with thousands of Burns Night suppers held across the world every January.
That's true.
Right?
Yeah. Have you ever been to a Burns supper?
Yes. Yeah. Shall I tell you where it was?
Ode to the Haggis and all that.
Ode to the Haggis. No. It was on the Royal Navy ship HMS Warrior, which is berthed at Portsmouth Dockyard, and was the first ironclad Royal Navy ship from 1865.
So they had a Burns Night on that where it sits.
They have one every year.
Oh, right. Is it like a museum ship?
It's like a museum ship, but it's always available for functions, carried out, and all that. And it was fantastic.
Oh, right. So, what sort of state is it in? Is it from the beginning of what, the 19th century or something?
1865. And it's in perfect state because it's a national monument. Right. It's a monument down there.
And
it's kept all the time.
I
should go. Yeah, it's absolutely fantastic.
So when you go down there, you can go to HMS Victory and that.
Yes, you can. Yeah, right. Definitely. Yeah. But he writes to a friend about his blue devilism.
Yeah.
The resemblance that hits my fancy best is that poor blackguard miscreant Satan, who, as Holy Writ tells us, roams about like a roaring lion, seeking, searching, whom he may devour. Mm. However tossed about as I am, if I choose, and who would not choose, to bind down with the crumpets of attention the brazen foundation of integrity, I may rear up the superstructure of independence, and from its daring turret bid defiance to the storms of fate.
Yes.
How's that?
Very well read.
That's Robbie Burns.
Now, that's not one I'm familiar with,
Did your father read out at your wedding?
He read My Love is Like a Red, Red Rose.
Oh, yeah?
Which it goes, My Love is Like a Red, Red Rose, something and blooms in June.
Right.
My Love is Like a Red, Red Rose.
Yeah.
It makes me sing a tune.
Oh, I see. His words did rhyme then.
I mean, he did. He did rhyme. And in fact, it was put to music that as well.
Right, okay.
And it's a lovely sort of love poem.
Yes.
But I mean, I can't remember it very well.
No, of course you can't.
It was a loveless marriage. No, that would be wrong to say that.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you something interesting about Alloway, which is where his cottage is in Ayrshire.
Oh, yes.
Alloway, not Galloway, by the way.
Alloway.
Alloway is near a place, which is a fascinating place for me.
Yes.
Which I've never worked out, but is basically a place where you can take a car.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
And you put the car into a lay-by.
Yes.
And this place is called Electric Bray. Mm. Okay. You put the car in a lay-by.
Yeah.
And you put it in drive, or you put it in first gear, and you watch the car go backwards.
What are you talking
about? It's an incredible place. I can't explain
it. What is this? Some sort of physical phenomenon?
It's a physical phenomenon, yeah. It's a little road that goes down a hill, but it's called Electric Bray because people go there and try and work out what's going on.
Yeah.
Now, effectively, what it is it's an optical illusion.
Right.
Because the road angle is slightly different from the angle of the hill.
Right.
So when you park, you are kind of confused by what you can see.
But the car's actually pointing backwards.
Because the car is actually rolling backwards. I'm not sure if this is right, but it rolls backwards when it should be going forwards. Because you look like you should be going downhill, but in fact you're going backwards uphill.
Right.
It's really weird.
Very odd.
I mean, it's really strange. I've never seen anything like it.
No, have you seen this happen?
I've done it.
Right,
I've sat
car.
In my car. And I've tried and you try and work out what's going on. But then you go outside the car and it gives you an explanation of what it is.
Oh, I see.
Because when I first went there, my parents took me there.
Yeah.
And my dad said, have a look at this. This is amazing.
Right.
And he said...
So you did it in your mother's car?
In the first time I did it, in
that
my mother's
car.
Cambridge, was it? I think it was an Audi, actually. We had an Audi 100 for a while.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And he, of course, because he was a bit of a kidder, Yeah. He said the reason this is happening is because there's a strange electric current here. That's why it's called electric brake,
right,
which pulls the car backwards up the hill.
Right.
Yeah. But in fact, you're actually rolling down the
hill. Yeah, it's an optical illusion.
It's an optical illusion. It's, like it's really weird.
Like when you're on a train in a station, right? Yeah. There's a train parked alongside you.
Hmm.
And then the train alongside you starts moving.
And you think
if you
you're
close
moving.
Your eyes and open them again, you can imagine my train's moving, not the train opposite.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I
yeah.
once had a strange experience on a train like that.
Oh, I bet you've had a few strange experiences on trains. The amount of drink that you've consumed on trains over the years.
You will know your friend of mine, Mr. Ian Walker.
Yes.
He and I used to travel back to Wiltshire quite a lot.
Yes.
Because we both lived in the same village.
Yeah.
And we'd finished working at the Express one sort of Friday night or something.
Yeah.
And we managed to get with Lulz to get the last train out of Paddington Station.
Right.
And we were in the bar car because that's where we used to spend our time travelling.
Excellent.
Right?
Yes.
Where they would we'd basically drink the fucking place dry.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Anyway, we were in this, and there's no windows. Right, so
that's
you can't really see everything,
that's right.
And it's dark.
There's just
anyway,
the guy behind the counter, there's a very old-fashioned sort of carriage, and one or two seats which look like a provincial cafe.
Yeah, it's like a cafe.
And that's it. Yeah.
And we were standing at the bar basically, which is what we used to like prefer to do.
Yeah.
And the journey took about an hour and three quarters or something like that.
Yeah.
Anyway, we were sort of vaguely aware of the fact that we thought we were going backwards.
Right. Yeah.
Because we'd been travelling all the way out to sort of Reading.
Yes.
And we both at the same time kind of turned to each other and went, "Are we going backwards?"
Yeah.
Feels like we're going in the opposite direction than the one we were going.
Yes.
And we both decided we'd gone mad.
Yes.
And we obviously had more drink than we thought.
Yes.
And we both went, "No, that's rubbish." But then I went to the barman to get the next beer.
Yeah.
And I said, "Excuse me, I said, I don't really think I'm a bit weird about this or a bit pissed. But are we travelling in the opposite direction? I.e., are we going back to London?" He went, "Yeah."
Yeah.
And we had, because apparently what had happened is the guy had got to Reading, come out of the station, taken a wrong turning. God knows how you do that on a train.
No, I don't know how you do
that. And he'd gone the wrong way.
Mm.
So he was now travelling back the other way to get back to the station so that he could go the right way.
Oh, he'd taken the wrong... I see.
He'd taken the wrong line.
So the points had been switched in the wrong place when he came out of Reading.
Yeah.
Having said that...
Yeah.
We have been to Cheltenham on a train when the train did go backwards out of Newbury Station to get to Cheltenham. Yeah,
really?
Yeah, because Cheltenham's way up at the Cotswolds, right? So I think it's Swindon. I think as far as Swindon.
Yeah, you changed it to Swindon,
Yeah, but we didn't change. The train changed.
Did it?
The train then went backwards
right.
in a circle before going forwards again. No, I'm absolutely true.
Yeah, I mean, some very weird stuff happens on trains.
Talking about Mr. Walker, right? Yeah. When I decided to go into the profession of public relations with the Football Association, I was in Manchester with Gordon Taylor, because that's where the PFA are based, right?
Oh, yes.
I was up there, and Gordon and I had been out on a great lunch, you know what I mean? Yeah, great
lots
guy.
Of lunch, Gordon.
Yeah, 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 great guy. Really terrific guy.
Yeah.
If I was in a trade union, I'd want him to be the boss, because he made himself very rich, but he made his members very rich as well.
Mind you, it's not that difficult, is it, if you're the man that runs the professional football association? They're all getting paid an absolute fortune already.
And do you know what they pay you in subscriptions, the PFA?
No.
£75.
Is that
standard.
All?
Standard.
That's all.
If you're a player for Rochdale earning £1,000 a week,
right.
or if you're Wayne Rooney, £365,000 a week, you pay £75
really?
To the PFA.
That's amazing.
It's absolutely amazing.
Well, he must have a awful lot of people paying £75 then.
No, they've got enormous wealth because he very, very cleverly and shrewdly took a percentage of the TV rights when all the TV deals started.
Ah, okay.
That's why he can afford to hang £1 million Lowry on the wall in his office.
Okay.
Not that he's benefiting from it, but the wealth of the PFA is enormous. Believe me, enormous, you know.
Right.
He's done a very, very clever job.
No.
But anyway, so I was up in Manchester. And Mr. Walker, that you're talking about, had taken over at the Express, and I decided to withdraw and go back to America to work with you again, you know, and all, except you came back this way.
Yeah.
So we kind of
well, you went to live in my apartment, supposedly,
because
that didn't last very long.
Yeah, well, no, because I was then transferred to Washington.
Yes.
But anyway, the point of my story is, so after this very long lunch with Gordon, you know, and not just Gordon, other people, I got on like the 6 o'clock train.
And were you there sort of in your capacity as the new PR of the FA?
I was well established.
Anything we can do to help you, Gordon?
No, I was well established.
Anything
the
you can do to help me,
as the guy who made things happen,
feel free to line my pockets with silver.
No, I was the guy who made things happen. And Gordon invited me up, and he used to invite me to the PFA annual dinner and all this kind of stuff, you know. And in fact, the Football League dinner and all that kind of stuff, you know. So I got on this train about 6:30, and feeling like I had the taste, I went to the I went to the bar car after I established my seat, and I thought I didn't run out of drink because I'm in the mood, so I bought three bottles of wine, believe it or not.
Big ones.
Three big ones.
Right.
I thought, you know, I'm going to get these three bottles because you know, halfway down, I might have consumed one and a half.
And you might not be able to make it back up there.
Well, they might somebody else might buy it. Yeah. I was buying to stop anybody else from getting the wine. Right. So I wanted. Anyway.
So what did they look say when you said I want three bottles of wine?
Well, I told them I was at the table for four. Right. But I wasn't. I was
even
table
that,
for
still.
Yeah.
A lot, I mean, by most people's standards, three bottles of wine is a lot.
Anyway, so I'm just sitting there and the train hasn't moved. All of a sudden, a very tall chap comes ambling along, and of course, I'm keeping my head down.
You're in first class, I presume.
Yeah, in first class. Yes. I didn't want anybody to sit next to me, you know, I just put my bags all over the place and all that. And then this rather cheeky individual said, "Excuse me, is anybody sitting here?" I said, "What?" Looked up, it was Mr. Walker.
Ah.
He had been to the express office in Manchester, sorting something out that day, by complete coincidence, and he was coming back. I said, "Fantastic to see you." You know, so he then got on the other side. We commandeered the table for ourselves, so nobody else sat down. Anyway, by the time we got to sort of Stafford or somewhere like that, all three bottles had gone.
Right.
Because
he's quite a thirsty chap, as Mr. Walker.
A thirsty chap. Anyway, so he...
We used to drink three bottles at lunch on a regular basis.
No, exactly. Yeah, exactly. So this is, you know, it doesn't sound so bad now. I'm sharing it with somebody else. That's a bottle and a half. Anyway, you know, Ian being a very decent chap, always stands his round, says, "I'll go and get some more." I said, "Brilliant." Now, I'd forgotten that I cleared the place out, the bar. So he comes back, chased by this steward, you know, with whom he'd had a fight because Ian had told him to fuck off because he didn't have any wine.
Right.
Because, and the steward said, "Well, somebody else bought it all, you know." And he said, "Well, you should have more bloody wine on the train then, shouldn't you?" Right. You know, no bloody good. And we ended up with six half bottles.
Right.
Or not even half. I think it was miniatures or something like that.
Well, you know those ones they do? Because I came back from Glasgow once. In fact, I think it was that show, one of the shows that we'd done.
Yes.
Where we were meant to fly. Up, but the bloody weather was so crap that I ended up coming back on the train.
I came back on the train through the Lake District and it was fantastic journey. Yeah.
And we, in fact, it was, no, actually, I'll tell a lie. I think it was, no, because my other half was with us. And she, it was me and her and Emma.
Oh, right.
And we actually drank the bar dry of all the white wine they had. But they had that Chilean stuff.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Which they have in sort of small bottles.
That's right, yeah.
You know, they're not miniatures, but they're kind of, they're like half bottles, I suppose.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And
we
must have had about 10 of them.
Right, yeah.
I mean,
sure,
I just kept going back up and getting three more, four more.
Exactly.
Shocking.
Exactly, yeah. But I love train journeys when you're within good company and have a drink.
Yeah.
In fact, when I qualified as a reporter.
Yeah.
So I went to Newcastle, right? 6 month training course. Fantastic. I loved it. And imbued in me a love for Newcastle forever, you know, and I'm going to work there eventually. But we got the train from Newcastle Central Station, where there's a huge picture which said, "Follow John Gibson and Newcastle in the Evening Chronicle," the paper that I wanted to work for, you know. And I'd been at their training college. And John Gibson was the most famous sports reporter in the Northeast who followed Newcastle United, you know. And it's brilliant. I just loved the whole thing. We finished the course and I said, "I don't want to go back. I don't want to go back to the Chester Chronicle." Well, they said, "You've got to go back. You're contracted to them.
Right.
Time will tell." So I got on the train with a chap called Howard... His name was Lockley or something like that. He was the son of my father's accountant.
Oh, right.
Such as it was. Mm. I mean, it was that accountant. He used to do his tax affairs and that kind of stuff, you know. And somebody else from the Chester Chronicle, with all three of us there. And we came back, and it was the most delightful journey because we'd come back from Newcastle, over the Pennines, down into Lancashire, then to Chester.
Yeah.
And we just did what you did. We stood in the bar for 3 hours.
Yeah.
Just drinking wine.
It's a very nice way to travel.
Absolutely lovely way to travel. I never did the bar car on the Long Island train, did you?
No.
The one that Stan Mays would have done every weekend.
I did do it on the train up to New Haven, though. Because up until relatively recently, and I'm not even sure if... because if you take the Metro Liner, for example, they had a bar car.
Oh,
you know, where you could sit and eat and all that.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
But they actually, I got on a train once that was going out of Grand Central Station, going up to kind of, you know, Westchester County that way.
I went up once to Austin. What's the capital of New York?
Albany.
Albany, I went to Albany.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, this train was going in that direction.
Right.
But it was stopping off at New Haven where I was going to see my sister or something.
Yeah.
And they actually had an old-fashioned bar car where it was literally, you would have, they had poles in the middle of the slightly different from the English one.
Yeah, sure.
Poles in the middle of the floor, surrounded by these little holders for cups, right? So you put your cup in.
Yeah, fantastic,
And the barman was there, but he was dressed in a white apron.
Yeah, yeah.
Very sort of, you know, American style.
Yeah, brilliant.
And there were guys drinking martinis.
Yes.
It was brilliant.
Yeah, fantastic.
You know, I think I just had a few beers on the way up, but it was great.
Well,
I love a bar car.
I do. I think it's fantastic. My favourite bar car story, you'll have noticed probably last week when Piers was off on Breakfast TV.
Oh, yeah.
It was being covered by Richard Madeley.
Oh, yes. He got himself into quite a bit of a publicity, didn't he, with the old...
Oh, he told the minister to push off or
Gavin
something.
Gavin Williamson, yeah. He said, well, if you're not going to answer my questions, then you get lost.
End, yeah, okay, it's fine. Yeah. Anyway, look, he's a very experienced TV presenter.
Accomplished.
Accomplished. Now, his wife, Judy, what's her name?
As in Richard and Judy.
Richard and Judy, yeah. Judy, what's her surname?
Ooh, I can't
it's not
remember.
Judy Finnegan, is it?
It is Judy Finnegan.
It's Judy Finnegan,
yes.
Anyway, they used to work in a studio next to us in where the Talksport studios are.
Yeah.
There was one next door.
I used to see them in the Oxo Cell.
Yeah, exactly.
She was usually quite pie-eyed by
well,
the middle of the
Judy
afternoon.
Well, Judy liked to drink. There's no doubt about that. Mm. And I'm not telling any secrets. Everybody knows that. And I remember the ranting and raving that went on because they used to finish work at Friday lunchtime when they'd finish that mid-morning show they did, right?
Yeah. And well, it was this morning, effectively, wasn't it?
It was this morning. They would then head off to Paddington Station.
Yeah.
And the most delightful part of their week was getting into the restaurant car, you know, and you don't have to be in first class to get the restaurant car. As long as you spend the whole of the journey, it doesn't really matter.
Well, I used to come up with Ian from Wiltshire on the train from Pusey, which had originally come from somewhere like Castle Carey down in Somerset.
Yes.
And you could get in the white tablecloth, have the breakfast, and they'd always try and chuck you out. But all you had to do, there's a trick to it, if you kept ordering toast, they couldn't chuck you out.
Right.
You had to go all the way to London in a first class dining car. Great.
Well, they probably did travel first class anyway. But when she turned up there one time and she went to find the restaurant car, it had been taken off the service.
Oh, yeah.
And they went all the way down to Cornwall to somewhere like St Ives or Penzance or something like that. And you can imagine how glorious that journey must have been at the end of the week.
Well, it goes down that bit of the coastline where Dawlish is, right?
Exactly. The sea is on your left.
It got swept away.
Yeah, that's right.
In the hurricane
or whatever
it was.
I've done the journey myself many years ago, and it was delightful. And you think to yourself, that was something special to look forward to at the end of the week. They took it off. Poor old Judy never got her car to Cornwall again.
Well, I mean, the funny thing is, you were describing a journey there from, say, Newcastle to Chester.
Yes.
I was talking to somebody the other day who was up at a railway conference.
Right.
Because one of the things we didn't know is that HS2 is actually not just for getting to Birmingham quickly. Yeah. It's actually going to revolutionise railways in the north of England. Because apparently there is now no way to do that journey that you did.
Yeah.
I don't think you can actually now go from Newcastle
across
to Chester.
The Pennines.
You can't go across the Pennines.
Yeah.
They closed it off.
Well,
they closed it down.
The amazing thing is we didn't change trains. Yeah. I thought that to myself many times. Did they ever build a railway across the Pennines and all
that? No, they did, apparently. Yeah. They had one, which was the one you probably went on. But they got rid of it.
Got rid of it, yeah.
Idiots.
Yeah.
Oh, well. Anyway, we're out of time.
We certainly are.
That's on the record.
Robert Burns, Scotland's national bard, once expressed his longing for the gift to see ourselves as others see us.
Exactly right.
Right?
This is a great phrase if you think about it.
Yes.
Because it says
see ourselves as others see us.
You would do well to take on some of that advice because if you think of why people don't like you, right?
Yeah.
You could think of how they see you and then you would know why.
Yeah. Load of rubbish. anyway, it says an academic analysis of the correspondence of the poet who described his low moods as the blue devilism has suggested he endured severe mood swings in which he flipped between depression and ultra hypomania.
Do you not think that had something to do with the large amounts of whiskey?
Well, I'm sure it's the fact that he's a complete pisshead, and as you quite rightly say, drunk into oblivion every day. But it
although
says,
that does sound a bit like bipolar, doesn't it?
It does sound a bit bipolar, yeah. So I got this train about 6:30, and feeling like I had the taste, I went to the I went to the bar car after I established my seat, and I thought I didn't run out of drink because I'm in the mood. So I bought three bottles of wine. Believe it or not,
big ones.
Three big ones.
Right.
I thought, you know, I'm going to get these three bottles because. You know, halfway down, I might have consumed one and a half.
And you might not be able to make it back up there.
Well, there might somebody else might buy it.
Yeah.
I was buying to stop anybody else from getting the wine.
Right.
So I wanted. Anyway.
So what did they look say when you said I want three bottles of
wine?
Well,
I told them I was at the table for four.
Right.
But I wasn't. I was at the table for one.
Well, still.
Yeah.
A lot. I mean, by most people's standards, three bottles of wine is a lot.
Yeah. This is where my career as a pole vaulter will start.
Uh-huh.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.